could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It'd make 'em cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 29 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I'd like to welcome you all this week to my radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our goal is to stretch your limits as to what is possible. Each week, we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional and wellness changes that make a big difference. This week, I'm very happy to have Dr. Jeff Wilson. Jeff, are you there?
I am here.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here today. I met Jeff quite a while ago through a personal reason, and it has been such a delight to get to know Dr. Wilson. And I would love my listeners to find out a little bit more about you. So I'm going to share your background, if that's okay with you.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great, great. So Dr. Wilson is a clinical psychologist, and he is known as the brain guy. I'd like to find out how you became that, so you'll have to tell us that later.
Okay.
Okay. He began his career in biofeedback in 1973 when he joined the staff of a research project at UCI Medical Center to investigate the possibility of biofeedback control over stomach acid secretions to aid in ulcer treatment. Eventually, he went to biofeedback services at a chain of 24 alcoholism hospitals across the country, doing early research, which helped to lead the way for the current use of EEG biofeedback as a powerful adjunct to the treatment of alcohol and drug abuse. Dr. Wilson spent over 12 years as the senior clinician of the biofeedback and stress management program at Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach, treating a variety of disorders, which include ADD and ADHD, stroke recovery, cardiac rehab, chronic pain, anxiety, depression, and many other medical disorders using biofeedback modalities, including EEG, EMG, peripheral blood flow, heart rate, and galvanic skin response. Shortly after beginning private practice in 1999, he was introduced to the treatment of autistic spectrum disorders by a mom of a patient who sought out Dr. Wilson for the neurofeedback treatment for her 5-year-old autistic son. This was one of those cases that Dr. Wilson's supervisor said, in quotes, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. This client has made more rapid improvements since he has been working with you than we ever have seen before." So, in 2005, Dr. Wilson joined forces with a long-established clinic in Torrance named ADD Treatment Center and opened his second center in Mission Viejo. These two centers specialize in evaluation and neurofeedback treatment of brain-based disorders. The main focus of these two centers is attention disorders, although nearly an equal number of their clients are on the autistic spectrum. To give you a little feedback into Dr. Wilson's personal life, he was born in Long Beach, California. He's a native. He earned his bachelor's, his master's, and his PhD at UCI. He lives in the foothills of Saddleback Peak with his wife, two children, 6 dogs, a bunny, and 3 cats. Now, Dr. Jeff, what kind of dogs do you have?
Oh, what kind of dogs? Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. They're all shelter dogs, rescue dogs, essentially. Actually, some of them we fostered. Some dogs for a while through a dog fostering rescue group and things like that. And some of them we just sort of ended up keeping. And so they range from all mutts, from very large to very small.
Wow. Yeah. I'm a dog lover, so that's great. I love hearing that. That's wonderful. So you have a full house, two kids, a wife, all these animals. It keeps you busy.
It does.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So I would love for you to share with our listeners how you became involved in the field of biofeedback.
Yeah, I would be happy to. I have to say that after your description of my background there, you're such a good speaker yourself that it made it all sound so exciting and powerful, interesting, and thank you for that.
Oh, so, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, let's see. I got involved in biofeedback many years ago, as you mentioned from that, but just looking for a job. I was at UCI and had just graduated with a bachelor's degree, and they have at UCI, they used to have a job board where people within the university would put up an advertisement for some needed somebody to do some work for them. And so there was an advertisement for something called a biofeedback study that was being done at the medical center, and I had just, this was sort of in the early 70s, I think it was, and I had just read this article in, I think, Time magazine about an early pioneer in biofeedback named Elmer Green, who was working at Menninger Clinic in Kansas, and they were talking about how one could affect migraine headaches sort of with their mind. And, you know, this was sort of late 60s, early 70s, when there was a lot of interest in meditation and kind of mind-expanding experiences and things like that. And I thought that biofeedback thing that they were doing at Menninger Foundation was very interesting. And then, who knows, you know, how these things happen, but I ended up seeing this job for something about biofeedback, and so I just thought, yeah, that sounds interesting. So that's how I did it. I didn't know too much about it, but I went and got involved in that study and was a technician for a number of years on that study at the medical center at UCI. So that was the beginning, anyway.
That's wonderful. And I see that you've been to UCI for quite a number of years. What was the inspiration for you to keep getting your education at UCI? I know it's an amazing school, but also what was it that made you stay there and not go to maybe another school for other educational?
That's a good question. I think it just sort of happened that way. I went there originally as a undergraduate, and mostly because I wanted to be near the beach. And so I did my undergraduate work there, and then I took time off and worked and also traveled around, went to Europe and did a number of things. And then I came back, and through biofeedback, I was working for a company that sold biofeedback equipment and also ran these alcoholism hospitals that were mentioned. Mm-hmm. And there was a fellow at UCI who was a professor in social sciences who had purchased some equipment in the past, prior to when I started working, and he called me up and wanted me to come and give a demonstration to his class. And it was one of those things where at that time I hadn't been there when he bought this equipment. You know, if you work as a salesperson for something, you know, you want to service your clients and that sort of thing. But he wasn't really a client of mine. But I thought, yeah, I can do that. You know, it's always a good idea to go out and do things for people if you're selling a service, basically. And I almost didn't go. I almost was going to call and cancel, but, I finally did, went and I demonstrated some biofeedback equipment for a class that he had. And afterwards he said, oh, that was very good. He said, well, you know, if you're ever interested, I think he asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, well, maybe I'd like to go back to school someday and get a doctor's degree or something. And he said, well, if you're interested, give me a call.
Wow.
Right. So he was very interested in biofeedback, and it just turned out, you know, because I went there, and he helped me and guided me to get in, and he was my chairman for my graduate program. So it just sort of happened that way.
That is amazing, and I guess that happens some of the time. So
I mean, I think a lot of things that we do often turn out that way. Anyway, don't they?
Yes. So I guess my first question, my next question rather, is can you explain what biofeedback is? And let's say if someone opts to come in to see you, what could they expect?
Yeah, well, biofeedback is a lot of times people confuse maybe not so much anymore because biorhythms sort of are not well known anymore. I used to, when I used to go to places and talk about biofeedback, they'd say, well, yeah, you know, isn't that thing where you have like peak days and you have emotionally good days or bad and mentally up and down, you know, and biorhythms is this sort of study of these three aspects of a person that vary up and down at different times and give you peak days and not peak days, and was kind of popular for a while, but I haven't heard much about it recently. So people used to think biorhythms and biofeedback was the same, but it's not. Biofeedback comes from the idea of feeding back to a person information about a biological function within themselves, so that they can gain control over that function. So a way of understanding biofeedback would be, say, if you wanted to control your heart rate for some reason, you would monitor your heart rate somehow, and you would, say, have a meter or something that would show you how your heart rate is changing from moment to moment. And you would do your best to figure out strategies to cause your heart rate to go in whatever direction you wanted it to go in. So you might, you know, think pleasant thoughts or breathe in a certain way or just calm yourself somehow and see if that dropped your heart rate. And the feedback lets you know when the strategy that you are working with is effective. So that sense of feedback, immediate feedback on some biological system is what biofeedback is. And it helps one gain control over a system that they want to regulate. And it's not like, you know, some people would say, well, biofeedback must be like mind over matter or mind over body or something. And I don't see it that way so much as that our mind and our body are interrelated and interconnected. And so when one changes, the other changes. So there are already natural relationships between our mind and our body. And what the biofeedback allows us to do is to discover them. So it isn't so much that you learn something you never knew, but what you do is discover some way in which your mind and your body might be interconnected or related or work together. And then it allows you to practice the techniques that are effective to change whatever it is you want to change.
That's amazing. It sounds so great. Dr. Wilson, we are going to take a very quick break and we will be right back.
Okay.
Glad you're able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guests a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health using cutting-edge technologies along with our inspirational and healing touch. We customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com, Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today. Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, and we are here today with Dr. Jeff Wilson. And Dr. Wilson has been explaining biofeedback to us, which I think is so fascinating. I would love for you to share, Dr. Wilson, a little bit about the relationship you have with Chinese medicine and how that relates to biofeedback.
Chinese medicine. Let me see. Where to begin? Along the way, when I was studying and doing my university studying, I came across some information about, and I became interested in some Chinese medicine approaches, specifically Tai Chi and Qigong and these sorts of exercises. You know, Tai Chi is that exercise you see people in the parks doing. So there are healing exercises, and I got interested in some of those things, and I had wanted to think about something beyond my PhD, you know, because when you have such a big obstacle or a big goal as like making your dissertation or doing your PhD, it's like a mountain you're climbing, and I wanted to have something beyond the mountain so that the mountain wasn't the only thing I saw. Mm. And so I thought about going to China to study somehow some of these Chinese healing exercises, and especially because they seemed quite related to the biofeedback approaches that I was learning about and that we use, you know, in sort of Western medicine. And then not too long after I finished my PhD, I saw this advertisement for a course in Beijing, teaching Qigong and Tai Chi. And so I went and did that. So I spent a couple months in China and studied that. And what I found was, you know, China is a very interesting place, I think. Mm. And
never been there.
Yeah, right. Well, and not so much China exactly, but their culture, right? The culture, mm-hmm. the Chinese mm-hmm. culture. Mm-hmm. And their healing practices and philosophies and that sort of thing. Now, it's very different. One of the things about the Chinese culture is it really developed very separately than our Western culture. They were pretty isolated themselves, feeling that they were the center of the world and center of the universe in a sense and things, that's just fine, and very old culture. And so they developed in different ways than Western society developed, meaning that their ideas and techniques are quite different, and they have many people sort of traditionally in China have rather different beliefs about things. For example, their thought about qi, healing energy that flows throughout the body, and one can manipulate qi in various ways for healing. And you know, in China, if you go there, you see people say outside this center where we were studying and this and that, there would be people outside moving their hands around over the bushes, and gathering the chi from the bushes, right? Mm-hmm. And you'd see this, not unusual at all. Now here, if you go down, you know, go down to Lake Forest somewhere and you see somebody moving their hands around over a bush,
they think you're crazy.
They will.
You're in the hospital.
exactly. So, you know, that's just one example of them. You know, there it's like common. Yes, okay, we know what they're doing. Sure, this is typical, right? Now, not everybody, you know, believes in, you know, Qigong and those sorts of things there too. But anyway, so what I found anyway, just with the Chinese medicine, is that there are a lot of ideas. In a sense, see, what I think is that they have studied for a long time, as well as other cultures where meditation and those sorts of things have been used, and they have found ways in which the body can be changed, the body and mind can be changed through various mental practices, mm-hmm. meditation, Qigong, or movements. And so they have sort of discovered this interrelationship between certain aspects of the mind and the body, or energy within the body. And so they may be described in different ways from different cultures, but here in the West, when we were doing all this biofeedback stuff, You know, it was more mechanical, and we were measuring things and measuring heart rate or blood flow or whatever, and finding out that there were certain mental processes that would manipulate or change those physical systems. And it turns out that, you know, of course, the body is the same here or in China or in India. And so there are different ways of understanding the same process, which is this interaction between the mind and the body, I think. And so I find that really fascinating. And that's kind of what I'm curious about, really, is how to understand this interaction between mind and body and how we can get in there and work with it. So
that's wonderful. Now, Dr. Wilson, you know that my show is called Attitude Adjustment.
Yes.
I would love for you to share two things that you think, in your professional opinion, our listeners can do to shift their attitudes.
I know you asked me to think about those things. I got one, at least. Maybe
okay.
I'll keep up and then
I
got one. So one of the things I had hoped to get into a little bit, too, was one of the things I do also in my practice is measure brain activity. So I do something called quantitative EEG, where we measure brain activity over the whole head, and then we compare that activity to databases to see where a person's brain is working differently than the norm. And what we do when we start to do that is we start to see the underlying brain function that may be related to certain problems or symptoms that a person might be having. And what it does is sort of takes the whole diagnostic approach to, say, psychology or psychiatry and sort of shifts it upside down, because we're no longer looking and calling somebody necessarily, you know, a depressed person or an ADD person, because as you, when you start to look at the brain, it's not that, it's more complicated than that. And so people who have a diagnosis or symptoms of ADD, for example, usually have other issues going on that are related to the way in which their brain is working slightly different than the norm. And when we start measuring the brain activity, we can see that. So instead of somebody with ADD, it may be somebody whose attentional areas are not working quite as powerfully as they could, coupled with perhaps integration between left and right auditory processing, or sensory integration more towards the back of the head and things like that. And so a person becomes a cluster of ways in which the brain is working slightly differently than the norm. Mm-hmm. And to me, so it's not like they're broken, but it's just like, this is the way the brain is working. So the point is, I think the idea of diagnosing somebody, you know, and labeling somebody, and lots of people talk about that, it sort of does them a disservice, because it's sort of like you're ADD and that's the way you are and you're always going to be that way. Rather than saying the area that has to do with attention and a few other things aren't quite working as well as they could in your brain, but we can exercise that part of the brain and we can help it to work better, and therefore we can help with those difficulties that a person is having. So I guess what I'd like to say is something like, you know, labels and diagnoses, I think, are a disservice. And what we need to think of is just sort of ways in which our body or our minds or our brains aren't working the way we want them to, or the way perhaps they should. And it's more about changing, learning ways to change how we function, so that we can improve and get better, rather than saying, I have this illness. Mm-hmm. So if that's, I know that's kind of complicated.
That is excellent. I love what you just said, because it is so true, and it's so true with mainstream medicine. You know, when you get a diagnosis from your doctor and people put into this box.
Yeah, right.
Instead of saying, wait, there's other ways to look at this, and we need to approach it from many different perspectives. I just love that.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Wilson, we know that there's a number of, especially young people, that have a tendency to get hooked on drugs.
Yes.
Can biofeedback be of help to them?
Yeah, absolutely. There, yeah, as you had mentioned in my background too, I worked and began some processes that had to do with, at that time it was more alcoholism, but also became then involved with drug addiction and treatment of drug addiction, that sort of thing. And what we find, and people are always also saying, of course, is that, you know, addiction is a brain issue, whether it's a predisposition to a fondness for certain drugs or alcohol based upon the brain and the nervous system, or if it's a dysfunction that comes as a result of using drugs or alcohol that makes it difficult to stop, because drugs and alcohol do affect the brain and the nervous system, and then when you stop them, the brain and the nervous system have been changed and aren't working as well as they used to, and therefore you have to kind of get it back on track. So what we find is that there are a number of approaches, and neurofeedback, which is EEG biofeedback, has become very important for addiction, to reduce craving and to help also the attention issues and other issues that may be, have been present that sort of lead a person to liking a stimulant medication or a stimulant drug too. And so along with a typical program of drug or alcohol treatment, neurofeedback has become very popular and very effective. So there are some studies showing that it increases the sobriety rate after 3 years by as much as like double and things like that, which is quite a big deal. And so integrated into and following up the usual treatment with neurofeedback or EEG biofeedback, training brain function is very, very helpful for addiction.
Wow. Now, if someone is interested, we have an audience listening. If someone would like to find you, how could they find you?
I'm here in Orange County, and probably the best way would just be to email me. There is a website. Actually, I just set it up not too long ago, and I'll tell you soon, I don't remember exactly how to get there. I think it's ADD Treatment Orange County. Mission Viejo, ADD Treatment Mission Viejo. If you Google that, I think you'll get to my website. Or you can just look for ADD Treatment Center, of course. That's one way. Or ADDTreatmentCenter.com. And there is our website also that I share with the Torrance office. And also my email is jwilson@addtreatmentcenters.org. So all Great. Of those ways are easy to reach me.
Great. Now, we only have a couple minutes left, and I would love for you to share with us either one of your wonderful success stories or something, your last bit of words of wisdom with our audience.
Oh, gosh. I think what I'd like to say is this idea, I think, is so important, is that, you know, the way in which we function in the world, it's about function. It's about how we operate, how we do things, how we conduct ourselves, you know, relaxing or not in terms of biofeedback or other things has to do with how we use our mind and our body, how we function, how we operate, you know. And sort of to see things as a process of function rather than just health being, you know, an illness or not sort of thing. It's about function. And as we're learning so much about the brain and what they call neuroplasticity, meaning the brain is a lot more plastic, it's a lot more changeable than it used to be thought. So things can change by using those systems in different ways. So if we learn how to use the brain in a slightly different way, the brain will change and will become able to do things that it couldn't do earlier, kind of like getting in shape. So it's about function. It's about learning how to influence ourselves or conduct ourselves in certain ways that take us closer to where we want to go. I think that's
fantastic. I thank you so much. This has been so interesting, and I've learned so much from listening to you today. It's been such a treat to have you on our show. You can reach Dr. Jeff Wilson by going to his website, jwilson@addtreatmentcenters.org, or his website, www.addtreatmentcenters.com.
Yes.
Please join us on the second and fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will continue to gain insights and inspiration from each of my guests. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude.
I have one. Can I say, One more
yes.
thing?
Yes.
You had asked earlier. Also, I typically will have a free consultation with people who are interested, since the things that I work with are often somewhat unusual and there's a lot of education that goes on. So if anybody is interested, it's a free consultation to come and sit down and go over your interests, and I can tell you what I can do for you. And so that's free of charge to figure out if there's something I can help you with.
Oh,
so that's always available.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So we look forward to our next show on Tuesday, January 27th, with Renee DeVero, nutritionist, hypnotherapist, and esthetician. For further information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld. My email is driris@driris.com, and my website, www.driris.com. And I'm going to leave you all with a quote. Confucius say, it does not matter how slowly you go, so long as you do not stop. Have a beautiful day and Happy New Year, everybody.
Come on, something, come on in. Don't be shy. Meet a guy, pull up a chair.